Quest for Truth, Episode 292.
Quest for Truth, presented by Protectorate Productions and HPN, Helsley Podcast Network. Now located at life-truth.com. And now, here are your hosts. Oh, come on. Do I really have to read this? They're charming, handsome, and the most wonderful men in the world. Oh, somebody, please shoot me. Keith Helsley and Nathan Caldwell.
Let's go ahead and get started. This is where I say welcome, everyone. This is your host, Keith, and it is time for Quest for Truth. And hey, once again, I am live in Church House Studios. In case my environment sounds a little different, for one thing, it's a kid-free zone. They're all playing upstairs, and I'm deep in the bowels of Church House Studios. The only drawback is you may hear a furnace kick on, which it's warm enough today. I don't think it will, but be warned. But I do say I'm live in Church House Studios.
I just had a big truck in the back go through.
Oh, because as you heard that voice, as our co-host, Nathan Caldwell, is with me today. And I thought this would be a really good time to get together and chat live, because there's some important things coming up as we're recording this. It's not this coming weekend, it's next weekend. By the time this gets posted, it will be this coming weekend, is the Cruciform Conference in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Now, actually, Keith, Lord willing, you're planning to attend, correct?
That is the plan, and I'm glad you said Lord willing, because, of course, hey, I don't drive, and it would not be safe to put me behind the wheel of a car. Which, if you heard our last week's episode, you'll know why it would not be safe.
You mean you don't want the GPS to say turn left right now?
Yeah.
Meet the hosts.
Because of course, if you heard last week's episode with my brother on, you'll know that both of us are blind for different reasons later in life. Things happen. But yeah, you don't want to have me on the road. Kind of on a bunny trail before we get started. Years ago, when I was first diagnosed and registered as being legally blind, I went to a rehab facility for training. And one of the guys there told this girl that she ought to drive a cab. And she says, why? I can't see. He says, you get you a seeing eye cat. You put it up on the dashboard, and if it meows
my
once, you go left. If you meow twice, it means go right. And if it screeches, then you slam on the brakes. So that was his idea of seeing eye cats, just to drive a cat.
That's crazy.
And speaking of a seeing eye cat, and within recent weeks, we actually have acquired us a little gray kitten who is he's not a full year old yet. He's still fairly young. But my one grandson wanted it because he had a cat before. And so we thought, yeah, we'll get you one. And so this cat found us. He just showed up in the house one day and claimed us. That's the short story of it.
He won't let you go.
Yeah, well, he's a really good cat. He's playful. He's kind of friendly. He's actually housebroken. He has not made a mess yet in the house. He tends to spend as much time outdoors as in, and he has tended to diminish our mice population in the house. So,
well, that's always good.
Oh, yeah. So he's coming in handy. So there's a couple of new things for us around here. For listeners who may have been following us for some time or know us more personally, may know that my wife has had to have some surgery about 7 weeks ago, it seems like, maybe eight, on her neck. And she is doing a lot better. In fact, she's
good.
Out and about right now in the van doing some shopping, and I think going to run Chris the Wild Moose to a doctor appointment of some kind. So she's doing better. But for folks who don't know, she had not one, not two, but three vertebrae in her neck replaced, which you can imagine is a very touchy surgery.
Doesn't sound fun.
And the odd thing is they had to go in from the front of her neck to do the surgery, which is weird because you would think they would do it from the back. But I finally figured out why. You know how whenever you have a Pez dispenser and you rock the head back and the little pellet comes out?
Yeah.
See, they had to slice open from the front and rock her head back and pop out a vertebrae.
Oh, that's not funny. That's kind of...
It's morbid. It's funny in a morbid
way. Oh, my goodness.
Of course, that's not why. Anyway, there's some updates around here. Because we like to keep our listeners updated, we've had a lot of first-time listeners. We've really taken off in between having folks with the Christian podcast community. We've gained a bunch. And over the summer, the last probably 4 weeks, we've had a lot of downloads.
Speaking of which, I would like to personally clue people in on a podcast they may not know is on the Christian podcast community. If you are in the Arkansas area and you ever listen to 93.3 FM The Fish, you may know that Steve does the morning show. What you may not know is that Steve and Bethany do a show called Hopecast. Bethany's Hopecast.
Yeah, that's where they're at.
Yes, they're in kind of my area.
I knew they kind of had a southern flavor to their voice, but I thought they were more like around Tennessee or something.
It's a great show.
It is.
And I do suggest you guys listen to it. It is right there on the Christian Podcast Community at christianpodcastcommunity.org.
Yeah. I don't have a bumper for them, so we'll just count that as our weekly promo for the network then.
Great.
The Christian Podcast Community is a cohesive group of like-minded podcasters proclaiming the truths of Christ with expertise and passion in the areas of theology, church history, Christian living, evangelism, apologetics, parenting, homeschooling, sermons, much, much more. So check us out at christianpodcastcommunity.org. One stop for all your favorite Christian podcasts. christianpodcastcommunity.org. But yeah, there's definitely a growing number of folks. So definitely check them out. There's definitely lots of different styles, you know, from this.
Yes.
The more professional radio types like the Hopecast. People like us who are doing what we're doing.
Just a quick update. Mm-hmm. I got some more voices in for Crimson Garnet. I'm going to be messaging the guy who plays Jimmy David Robbins plays Crimson Garnet, but he also produces the program for me. I'm going to let him know that voice is in and tell him, go ahead, start her up and see if you need anything else. So,
right. Cool. And that's of course the audio drama that you do on Protectors of the Book.
No, it's Protectorate Productions, but it's actually on the show called Lion's Den audiobook and drama podcast.
There we go. Yeah. So, and the audio drama that we have been doing every month, The Adventures of Luke, or sometimes known as Luke Investigates. I'm stuck on the script number 13. I have everything down to the last scene or so, and I just haven't had time to sit down and finish it.
If
it works, it should be coming soon. Not this month, probably, but maybe next month.
And you can also find that not only at life-truth.com, but you can also find that over at Lion's Den Audiobook and Drama Podcast as well. Right. So you got two places you can find it, so you don't have an excuse to miss it.
So we keep busy as we go about our days through the week. But today,
main topic.
We are here to put on our hats wearing our quest for truth, because we'd like to seek the truth, because if it's true in the Bible, it's true outside of the Bible. And we look at worldviews in a casual kind of setting and kind of joke about them and do some role play and things. But we do look at the Bible sometimes. Well, today we're going to do that. We're going to look at, well, holiness, because of this holiness conference at the Cruciform Conference in Indiana. And not that I have anything enlightening to say about it, because there's a whole conference designed to teach pastors, you know, on a 2-day seminar, how to be holy. So all I can do is kind of shoot from the hip here. And I have to say, the first thing that comes to mind when I hear holiness is the phrase all over the Bible, Old Testament and New, "Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." That as believers.
As a matter of fact, I want to say in verse 48 of the chapter we're going to be looking at.
Right,
Jesus, I think it makes that comment.
I think you're exactly right. And so my mind first went to, I think it's Leviticus 19. I don't want to really read it, because we've covered it before, actually, in a podcast in the past in pretty good depth. But all I want to say about it is it starts out saying, "Be holy, for I am holy. You're holy because I make you holy." It gives a big old laundry list of things not to do, largely sexual sins, that goes from typical adulterous to very deviant and horrific.
Are you breaking up? It's either me or you, but one of us is breaking up.
He's breaking up. He's breaking up. We can't refer to him. The $6 million man. Anyway, back on track here. But that it gives a big old laundry list of things not to do, largely sexual, and goes from the typical adulterous to the very deviant. But then it ends up saying, don't do these things, because those people are getting booted out because they did these things. This is the opposite of holy, you know.
Right.
But then I fast forwarded to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5. And I wanted to take a survey of the whole chapter, but focusing on the later half of it, because this honestly is a list of things to do. And these are such much more wonderful things to be focusing on. It's a lot more positive. You know, it starts out, of course, with the famous, the Beatitudes.
Right.
Matthew... I want to skip past the Beatitudes, other than to say, you know, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's kind of important, because if you want to be holy, do you have a hunger and thirst? And you may say, how do you get a hunger and thirst? Well, let me ask, are you ever hungry for food? How do you get a hunger for food?
It's because, these are not people who...
Yeah, but all I'll say is, you know, it's just your body physically, naturally has a need. And if you decide to not feed your body, you will become extremely hungry and thirsty.
This is not just a passing interest in doing the right thing. This person is in this description lives to do as God commands. It is their food. and their drink. And I think about Jesus in John 4, and for time's sake, we won't go there. But his disciples told him, you know, you need to eat. And he said, my food, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work.
Right.
And you know, Jesus says if we are really hungry and thirsty for him, for righteousness, he said, you'll be filled, and rightly so, because that's what he wants from us. He wants us to have that attitude, and he will bless that attitude.
Oh, yeah. And jumping down to about verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart. So holiness is a pure heart. You know, you have to have a sincere, I want to be this way. I want to seek these higher, better ways, not like, oh my gosh, I have to do this. It's a duty. It's a chore. If that's your attitude, you're not being holy and you're not even seeking after it.
Well, my thought on pureness of heart was the only way we can be pure is through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way our heart can be pure.
Good point.
Because the Bible talks about our hearts and how they are deceitfully wicked.
And I did mention the Leviticus passage. You know, God says, you're pure because I make you, well, not pure. You're holy because I make you holy.
Right.
And so in New Testament language, the Holy Spirit has to come. And where we can't do it, he does it for us. All we have to do is say, you know, I don't know how I'm going to get from A to B, and let the Holy Spirit take care of that.
Right. That's right.
But there's some more traits there in Matthew 5. I just, you know, want to zoom past, you know, peacemakers are called sons of God. If we're persecuted for righteousness, if we endure insults, persecutions, false teachings against us, your reward in heaven is great. So you don't go unrewarded for being holy. It may look like persecution. It may look like you're being dealt dirty, but in the end, your reward is great. And of course, there's this famous passage. I know you've done a sermon on being salt and light.
Absolutely.
And but we also, and this is kind of getting into the area I want to focus on here, is Jesus talks about having a righteousness that surpasses the legalism of scribes and Pharisees. Because this is where he says, you've heard it said, you know, but I say to you, and he gives us the better way.
Right.
Now, did you want to just pick up and start reading from there? Or
would it be 21?
I think it's like 19 or 21 is where it starts.
Let's see here.
It's in that area.
Okay. For I say unto you, verse 20, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is a huge standard, and we need to keep an eye on it, okay? Ye have heard that it was said. I'm still here. I just lost my place.
Now, what that tells me is I always like to kind of jokingly say there's two ways to get to heaven. You can either live a totally perfect life all on your own, or you can trust in, you know, God's grace and faith of Jesus Christ. Of course, the faith in Jesus Christ is the easier way. But what Jesus is saying here is if you want to try to do all the works yourself, you got a big, big chore because you've already failed.
Right. And that's the thing is, I mean, I could go into total hereditary depravity and talk about, you know, we inherit sin from our fathers and therefore we're not going to pass that test. But aside from that, if you've already made one sin, and if you're able to hear and understand what we're saying, you already have, then you've already messed up. You can't do that route.
Right. And there is no hope that you can live a more righteous life as a human under your own power. And this is what Jesus is trying to say in this verse. is, you know, you just can't be, you know, the top dog in your church. You have to be, go beyond that.
Yep. He says, you've heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, which means vain fellow, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and remember that your brother has aught against you, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift.
And so saying, here again,
it's your heart.
What holiness looks like, it's not about the outward deed of murdering. It's having anger. It's calling your brother names. And right. It's not about, holiness isn't about, oh, look at
it's,
me,
it's,
I'm worshiping.
Internal.
Holiness means you fix that. You reconcile before you show up to worship. You don't worship first and then reconcile. This is what holiness
right.
is.
For some reason, this reminds me of when David, I think it was, it said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You know, repentance is important to maintain that holiness with God. And I say maintain, but you have to, repentance is necessary to even get it, period.
Right.
I'm not saying maintain salvation. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just living the best way you know how for the Lord after you're saved.
Well, you know, it's one thing to like you said, to be saved, or I'll use the word get saved, to be in that crowd. And we can't do that. That's Jesus. But holiness or not holiness, we can do things to enhance ourselves being holy or not being holy. And like I said, you want to see what not to do? Go back and read Leviticus 19. But we're looking at this, these positive
right.
things. Of, this is things we can do, these things with the help of the Holy Spirit, but do even better. But this goes on to say, it talks about settling out of court. You know, don't, in other words, you know, if you have a beef with your brother, you got to go to court. It's better to iron it out, settle out of court. Don't be taken to the judge and run the risk of losing everything. It goes on to talk about, you've heard it said about, divorcing. You want to pick up there? Or do you have stuff?
Yes. I'm trying to find, I'm looking at, this is, stop at 27 for a second. So you have heard it said by them of old time, you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. There we go. Verse 31. It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, in other words, unless she cheats on him, causes her to commit adultery. So if you put away your wife for anything other than a sexual sin, you cause her to commit adultery. Why is that? Because it says also, whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. God intended marriage to be between one man and one woman, becoming one flesh for one lifetime.
Yeah. Now, here's an important thought for our world that we live in today. And this is really, wow, it really hits me deep. I read the statistics in the past few weeks talking about, like, only 17% of people claiming to be born again Christians actually believe Jesus was this God. And there's a lot of political viewpoints entering the church, like socialism and things agreeable to homosexuality and abortion are entering the church. And to me, this is a modern reflection. where Jesus is saying not to divorce. He says, sure, it's allowed because God knows of your sinful nature. But look at the explosion of sin and complication it causes. If you're one man and one woman for life, and you want to have the most active sexual relationship in the world, go for it. There's nothing wrong with that. But the instant you open that up to somebody else,
right,
it complicates matters deeply. It's in Old Testament days, they could write a letter that says, I divorce you, but it had to be for adultery. Otherwise, you're just making things worse. But let's say it was for adultery. It still complicates matter because, as you read, to get remarried in a divorced relationship, it still brings adultery into the picture. It complicates things.
Only on the side of the person that committed fornication. Like, what I'm saying is, if the man left the woman for anything other than fornication, then remarriage would be,
well,
adultery is the way.
The way I understand it's written is, because the Old Testament laws are very one-sided towards the man. So what it's saying is, the man's wife is unfaithful. I'm going to divorce you. Here's your paper. He can remarry because he wasn't the unfaithful one.
Right.
She's still his unfaithful wife, but he can take on a different wife who allegedly will now be faithful. Now, where this goes next is, well, I mean, she's already adulterous because, of course, that's why he got the divorce in the first place.
Right.
But whether she is or not, if she remarries, it just makes her even more adulterous.
Oh.
She cheated on you with somebody, and now she's married to somebody, possibly somebody different. So she's just basically sleeping, you know, so it just complicates things. But this was a big problem for the social climate of their day. And to me, it just reflects, will we allow our social norms to pollute our purity and holiness? It complicates things.
Well, our social norms are sure far from holy these days.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately. But to me, I just wanted to bring that out with this whole mess with divorce here. I mean, not to open up too big a can of worms, but back in their day, they had social problems that crept in. We're not immune today. In fact, I think they're even worse today.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Feeling entitled or you name it. But, you know, then Jesus talks about some extreme things to do. I think in verse 29, if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out. Throw it away. It's better to remove the body than have your whole body thrown into hell. In other words, you know, maybe whatever this thing that's causing you to drift from a holiness, maybe it's not a bad thing. Maybe it's, you know, the whole controversy about drinking alcohol in and of itself, not bad. But if that leads you down other paths, then it does become a problem. And even though, say, oh, it's not a sin, but it is for me. And so I need to tear this out of my life so I don't go down
right
shady paths. This is what this next part, you know, and again, related to holiness. You know, we can and should do things, you know, to maintain being holy or to enhance our holiness or to grow in holiness. And sometimes you just got to get rid of it. I've heard, it's been a while ago, podcasters debating about should we use wine in the communion service or can it be grape juice? And there's people amazingly get into huge battles over that. And they're like, oh, it's just a little bit for communion. It won't hurt. Even if you're an alcoholic, you'll overcome it because it's a worship of the Lord. It's like, no. Clearly, you don't know anybody who's suffered through alcoholism or substance abuse. That's all it could take to push somebody over the edge, seriously. And it would be better to cut that out you know, if having wine in your communion cup is going to be a stumbling block, cut it out. It'd be better to not do that.
Yep.
Just use grape juice. Use something, but don't use alcohol.
I've heard, and I'm not a fan of using wine anyway for various reasons, but one guy asked a pastor one time, says, do you use wine in your communion cups? He says, no, we use grape juice. The guy said, good, because I'm an alcoholic and I can't,
right?
I can't drink wine. So, I mean, there's more than one reason there to stick to the fruit of the vine.
Yeah. And fruit of the vine is open. It could be anything from grape juice to totally fermented alcohol. Every step in between, fruit of the vine. And one is as good as the other. And honestly, again, having something that's going to possibly lead somebody into areas of renewing their addiction, cut it out. You know, plug out the eye, cut off the hand. Not, of course, not literally, figuratively.
No, but
take whatever.
A good example of this is a story of a man who took the same path to work every day. And somebody would always, on his way home, somebody would always talk him into using his paycheck to gamble. Well, eventually the only way he could avoid that is take a different route home. And that's kind of the spirit of what Jesus was saying, is right. Stay as far away from temptation as you possibly can.
Yeah. And I think you've already covered these divorcing. There's a section here about not making vows. Think of that, how that would apply to being holiness. I would encourage people to read this tale ended verses on your own. It'd be better to not make a vow than to make one and not be able to keep it.
Right.
If you need to make a vow just to prove your yes or no, you're that's not holy. And Jesus is saying it's not holy.
I'm also thinking if you're constantly saying, I swear, man, it's true, I swear, something's wrong with your credibility.
I swore on a stack of Bibles. Don't bother even swearing at one Bible. Just say yes. And if you mean it, I believe you. But if you're lying to me, you're going to blow your trust. But these are things that affect holiness. And then finally, an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. There's a matter of grace there. Don't seek justice. If someone does something wrong and take your cloak, go the extra mile. Mm-hmm. Give them the rest of your shirt. If they make you do a job, do it twice as good. So holiness goes above justice, and it goes the extra mile. And I'm just trying to real fast, love your enemies, verse 3. Love your neighbor as yourself. Be, again, as you said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. This is the way the NASB puts it. Be holy as your Father in heaven is holy. Whew, I just wanted to zoom through those last couple of sections there, because when we talk about holiness, you don't think about some of those things, but they affect how holy you are. And there's some things you have to work on if you want to improve or enhance your walk. And sorry if I'm keeping it too long, but I just wanted to race through that.
That's all right. I just wanted to, I want to say the last thing when you get ready for it.
Did you know that Striving for Eternity provides speakers and seminars that we would come to your church and disciple your people? We have seminars on the Bible interpretation made easy, creation science, evangelism, presuppositional apologetics, even on sexual abuse. These are just some of the many things that we could provide for your church. Consider inviting one of our speakers to your church. You can contact us at speaker@strivingforeternity.org.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, Speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another for his name's sake.
What's up, everybody? I'm Jamal Bandy, the host of the Prescribed Truth Podcast, where I seek to distribute the truth that the doctor prescribes to the church and the world today. The Lord graciously brought me out of a cult in 2010, saved me in 2013, and in 2017, Prescribed Truth began. My mission has been to spread the truth of God's word while refuting dangerous lies affecting most churches and the culture at large from a biblical and reformed perspective. Join me on Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for the live recording of the podcast on YouTube and download the audio version wherever podcasts can be found, including the Christian podcast community. If you would like to know more about Prescribed Truth, please visit my website at prescribedtruth.com. And remember, this world is full of errors, but the only thing that the doctor prescribes is truth. Blessings.
I just wanted to, like I said, do a survey of this. I kind of basically get the overview that I intended to go to. So whatever you want to wrap up in saying, I'll let you have the final word here.
You're going to laugh when you hear what I got to say. Because I'm going to ask Anthony Russo of Grace and Peace Radio to take over for us while closing.
Oh, yeah, because he does do our closing credits. Well, I'll let him even do a promo
for himself. Take it away, Anthony.
Oh, and me? I'm Anthony Russo. You can listen to my podcast over at graceandpeaceradio.com. Ever wish you could get together with a friend over coffee each week and talk about God's Word? Me too. Hi, I'm Anthony Russo. I'm the host of Grace and Peace Radio. Grace and Peace Radio is a Christian living blog and podcast dedicated to engaging conversations about applying God's Word to everyday life. I hope you'll join me, Anthony Russo, on Grace and Peace Radio each week at graceandpeaceradio.com or right here on the christianpodcastcommunity.org. Visit life-truth.com, where you can find all our shows. Leave a message or call our voicemail number at 401-753-4844. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lifetruthpage. Follow us on Twitter at HPNcast, capital H, capital P, capital N, capital C, A-S-T. Everything Nathan Caldwell does can be found at facebook.com/protectors of the book. Music in the show is used by permission of Kevin Zerbe at zerbinator.wordpress.com. May God richly bless you. May you find everything you need. And if you don't know Jesus, your greatest need is a Savior. Thanks for listening.